you're going to throw something at me. I don't want that. I heard he has a good arm. But so I got a little lesson here. It's just called Remember the Basics. And let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, passage we've all read many, many times. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's going to be kind of interesting at the beginning here, but just kind of bear with me until we get to the later on. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to read the first 8 verses. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, not your own opinions, not what you think it says, not what you think the writers meant. Preach the word, okay? I heard a pastor once say, I've gotten to the point now where I want to sit and think about what they might have been thinking at that time. We weren't there. Just take God for what he wrote. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple. Okay, I digress. Be instant. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and is now here, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them who love his appearing. All right, let's pray. Lord, kind of a different spin on this passage here this morning, but it's something you spoke to me about. And I just pray it's a blessing to the people here this morning. I thank you that they're here. Pray for Pastor this morning as he's over in Michigan preaching the word. We know he is. And I just pray that you bless him and give him the words to say and help to be a blessing to the people over there. We think of Tenny this morning, Lord, as he's going through a rough time yet again in the hospital with a fever. And Lord, I just pray that you be with that little man and touch his body. Be with his family too. Give him strength through this time. In your name, amen. Fifth grade. When I was in fifth grade, my dad bought me my first set of golf clubs. I was sitting in the house, and my dad comes in, and he says, "Hey, come on outside, I got something for you." I said, "Okay." We lived in Rosemont at the time. Is this still working? Okay, we're good. All right. I should put it in my pocket. Okay, so I came outside, and he had bought me this set of golf clubs at a garage sale. It was an old, beat-up red bag, bright red bag. And it had an old rusty golf cart on it. And the clubs, if you're familiar with golf at all, it had leather grips with wooden shafts. And the blades were like, they were a little rusty, but they were just flat. I mean, there was like little dots, and there wasn't grooves in them like today. And I looked at this set of clubs, and I'm like, wow, this is great. You know, not like today, kids are like, well, where's the pings, you know? Where's the Titleist golf clubs? No, I was just like, wow, a set of golf clubs, great. Because when I was little, when I started, like 4 and 5 years old, I used to caddy for my dad. I'd go with him on his little golf trips. Every weekend he'd go golfing somewhere, and I'd grab his cart, and, you know, I'm pulling his cart along, you know, and where he went, I wanted to be with dad while he was golfing, because my dad was really good, and I wanted to be there and watch him beat everybody. So it was fun. And when I started hitting golf balls in the yard, plastic golf balls. You don't hit regular golf balls in a residential neighborhood. It's not a good thing. All right? Trust me on that one. All right? So I started hitting plastic, like wiffle balls, plastic golf balls, and like this. And I'd hit them in the yard, and I'd hit them for hours. I just loved swinging a golf club. It's just one of those things that clicked with you. I was like, this is great. I love this. You know, like some of you like other sports or other activities, and it just, when you first did it, it was like, I like this. I like this. I can do this. And that's the way golf was for me. So I'd be out there for hours. And after a while, I just like, you know, I started getting these, you know, things in my head of things I'd like to do in golf. You know, what I'd like to accomplish in golf. First one is I'd like to play a real course. You know, the front yard and the backyard get kind of a little boring after a while. But I wanted to play a real course. And I was like, wow, if I, you know, just that'd be great. Next thing I had, I was like, maybe one day I could beat my dad. You know, my dad was good. I remember I was caddying for him once, and the par on the course was 35, and he shot a 28. That was pretty good. He had two eagles and three birdies. And the guy, there was one guy that was golfing with him that was really, he had his own business, and he was well-to-do, and he was ready to sponsor my dad to go on tour after one nine-hole round of golf. You know, but dad, no, I don't want to do that. But so dad was good. So I wanted to beat my dad. I wanted to play a real course, and I wanted to beat my dad. Then the next thing, of course, you know, like wanting to play in the NFL or the NBA, I wanted to play on the PGA Tour. So that's it, man. That's got to be, that's the ticket. You know, so I had these three goals in mind, but there were some things I needed to learn before I got to this point, before I could even start thinking about these things. Number one, I had to become familiar with my equipment, what I was using. I couldn't just, you know, walk out and have one club in hand and think, I'm going to take on the world with this one club. I got it all figured out. And one thing I learned, just hitting golf balls around the yard, was the clubs were different. They weren't all the same thing. You know, you got 14 clubs, it'd be kind of stupid for them all to be the same. And they have different angles on them, different pitches, and they're all meant for different things. I'll show you here. Here's a 4-iron. I'm not sure what this is used for yet. I haven't figured that one out. But you can see the pitch in there. And then this is a lob wedge. You can see the different angle there. Okay. All right? So I'm like, and hitting golf balls in the yard, you're like, well, I got all these clubs, but what are they all used for? So I'd be like, okay. So I'd be hitting the different golf balls, and then, so I'm just going to do a little demo here, if you don't mind. So I got the 4-iron out, and I said, okay, that tree down there, that's number 4 at Augusta. And if I win that, if I do good on this hole, I'm going to take the lead over Jack Nicklaus. Yeah. He's a golfer back in the 70s and 80s. He was really good. I don't know if you heard of him. And so I took out the 4-iron, and I looked at that tree, and I swung. Ooh, that had a low trajectory. Oh, okay, I get it. So if it has a bigger angle, it's going to go higher. So lower trajectory, more speed, is going to go farther. Okay? So you're learning these things. I had to learn my equipment. And so then I took out the big wedge, and I'm like, okay, what's this? Obviously this one's going to go a little higher. Well, sure enough, there it went, a little higher. So it's going to go shorter distance, and it's going to land softer on the green. I didn't learn that right away, but I was like, okay, so I had to learn my equipment. I had to learn the golf clubs and what the angles were for and what that was all about. I had to learn golf balls. Golf balls are different styles and different names, and you're like, all these different golf balls, all these different names, what's the best one? And, of course, you see all the commercials and everything. Well, Titleist, number one ball in golf, you know. And I was like, okay, Titleist, but I couldn't afford to buy my own golf balls and everything. And they have different compressions. The higher the compression, the better it is on hotter days. The lower compression, the better it is on colder days. I learned that. I'm like, okay. Just things you learn on the way. Tees. Where you got different tees that hold the ball up in the air. You can only use them on the tee box. I found that out. You can't use them on the fairway. You can't use them on the greens. That's not a good thing. But you learn where you want to put the ball when you're hitting off a tee box, whether you're using a wood or an iron or whatever. You learn these things, just basic things to learn. And I figured if I learned my equipment good enough, shoes. I didn't have golf shoes at the time with the spikes and all that. I just had tennis shoes. I didn't care. And then the second thing, I not only had to be familiar with the equipment, but I had to be I had to show a desire to learn. I couldn't just stop with having a knowledge of the equipment. I had to have a desire to learn. I had to ask questions. Hey, Dad, what do I do here? I remember once I eventually got out on the course, you know, I was like, Dad, what club do I use here? Well, why don't you try this club and let's see, because we're still figuring out the distances I would hit the ball. And eventually, now I know what each club in my bag, which club I would use at a certain distance, what the conditions are. I take all those things into consideration because that's things I've learned over the years. But Dad, what club would I use? So I had to trust my dad, for one thing. I had to learn from him. I had to ask questions. Dad obviously knew what he was doing. He was playing really well. Dad, what do I use here? Dad, how do I do this? How do I read a green? There's no words on it. You know, how do you read a green? So he'd tell me all these things, and he would show me. I would ask questions, and when he wasn't telling me what to do, like, hurry up, come on, let's go, and speed up. And then I practiced. I'd always practiced. I always hit, whenever I had the time, I was out in the yard hitting golf balls, even in the snow. The plastic balls just skip right across the top of the snow, so it was easy. They didn't go plowing into the snow, so I had to dig for it. So I'd be out there hitting all the time. And it was just, I practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. One day, whenever I had trouble with, I'd get to the point where even at a young age, I could tell when I'd hit a bad shot, right when it left the club face. I could tell, oh, that wasn't good. Oh, that was bad. I don't even want to see where that one goes. And so I had to go back to the basics. And that's kind of what I titled this, was remembering the basics. A lot of times you sit there and you tweak this and you hold your hip and you just, you know, and eventually you're so, you can't even swing the club. My dad said, just swing like you normally do. Just go back to your natural, you have a natural swing, just go back to your swing. So then I'd go back and, oh, well, there you go. And I went back to the basics. And that's kind of where we're going to go with this, is so many times in our Christian lives we have troubles in our life, and if we just went back to the basics of being a Christian, you know, just basic things that when we first got saved. You know, what was our excitement like? What did we do when we first got saved? What was our thrill? What was our desires? And so I had to learn. I had to come familiar with my equipment. I had to show a desire to learn. I had to ask questions and practice and get information and get it into my mind. And then one day my dad came up and said, hey, you want to go play golf? And I said, on a real course? And he goes, yeah. Yeah, let's go. So we went out to the course, and I'll never forget it. To this day, it's just in my mind. We went out to the course, we got on the first tee, and they had just cut the grass. Anybody else like the smell of fresh-cut grass? Oh, I'll never forget that. And the fairways were mowed just beautiful, and, you know, there's water holes. They weren't so nice, but sand traps, you know, elevated greens, you know, but I was just like, wow, this is beautiful. It really was. To me, I was like, man, this is something else. And I was up there in the tee box and that grass, I was like, wow, this is great. It wasn't noisy. People were polite. Like on Nicollet Mall when you're street preaching, you know. It's real quiet. People are polite. You know, it's nice. Yeah. Just like that. It was like a picture. I mean, you look through a magazine and you see a picture of a golf course and you're like, look. Well, I do anyways. You know, you may not do that. But I was like, man, that's beautiful. I'd hate to. There was when I was stationed in Puerto Rico in the Navy, I played this golf course down there on my off time. And it was just, it was one of those golf courses you see on a postcard. It was like, wow, check this thing out. And I hated to even hit the grass because it was so nice. I was just like, but the divots came out nice and it was fun to play. It was really nice. Anyways, and then my first hit, it was time for my first drive. And I got up on the tee box and teed my ball up, and I hit it and went right down the middle, about 150 yards. And my dad goes, wow, somebody's been practicing. And that really made me feel good. my dad said, I did a good job. You've been practicing. And then I'll never forget that. Next shot wasn't so good. But the first shot, my first shot was right down the middle. And I got done with my first round, and I shot a 68 on 9 holes. I was like, I didn't care. I just had a ball. I got to play golf on a course, a real course. And I was excited. I was like, man, that was fun. When do we go again? And then next Saturday, you want to go again? You even have to ask. Let's just keep the clubs in the car. Let's go. But we had, and I'll never forget, I had a long shot, and I took out my 3-iron. The 3-iron had this leather grip. It wasn't the wrap. It was a wrapped leather grip, but it was just smooth. I mean, it was just slippery, you know, just, and I swung. It was in the front yard. I swung real hard at this ball, and the club went out into the street, you know, dang, 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 you know, I was like, and there was a kid riding by on his bike, and he was laughing at me, and it was just, you know, it was a growing process for me. So then, so I got there, I used to sit there, and I'd hit my ball, and then I'd watch my dad play, and he hit that ball, and my dad used to play semi-pro baseball, so he didn't have the full swing, you know, he didn't come all the way up like, you know, like this, and then come down and swing. He would just have a three-quarter swing like this, and then, boom, he'd snap his wrist like in baseball and hit that ball, and just snap off the face and just go right down the middle. If you ever see a knuckleball in baseball, you know, that thing's always moving around like this. That's the way his balls went because he hit them so hard, and there was no spin on it, and it would just go through the air like this. And he'd hit these ones that would be low risers. They'd go along the ground like this, and then all of a sudden they'd rise up like this and then land right. Every time it was in the middle of the fairway. And I just sit there going, wow, one day I'm going to play like my dad. That's really something. To me, he was the best. He was the greatest golfer ever. And he's always, everybody he played, he beat. I don't remember him ever losing anybody. It was kind of neat, you know. He told me one story. He was playing these guys, and they were coming to the last two holes, and he hit a bad tee shot. It was a par 3, and this guy was beating him by 2 shots. And they were heckling him. They were giving him a hard time because they knew if they could get to him, then he'd blow it, and they'd beat him. So he gets on his second shot on a par 3, and he's still 50 yards. It was a terrible shot for him, and he bladed it. And it just screaming. It was going to go, you know, 100 yards over the green. This thing was just screaming. But it hit the flag, not the pin, but the flag itself, wrapped up in the flag and dropped 6 inches from the hole. Putted it in, and that just, those guys, he ended up beating them by like 3 shots because they just fell apart after that. But it was kind of funny, you know, it's just golf is a strange game. But anyways, I'll never forget. Then my next goal, obviously, was to beat my dad. You know, that's pretty lofty. That's a pretty high goal. And because my dad was my teacher. He was my mentor. You know, that's the big word now. You know, he was the guy I looked up to. He taught me everything I knew about golf, and except the temper part. But he he didn't teach me that. But I guess I was just competitive. That's what it was. It's competitive. But he was my idol, so to speak, in golf. My dad was something else to watch play golf. And the one day I finally beat him, and I felt terrible. I did. The worst part of all is my dad had a bad day on the golf course, and I had a good day, exceptionally good day, and I beat him. And it's kind of like the Vikings. They always have a really good day, and every other team they play has a really bad day, and they win a couple games here and there. But I beat him by 1 shot. And I felt bad. I went home, and Mom says, who won? And I said, I did. She goes, you did? Well, good for you. I said, well, I feel kind of bad. I felt bad for Dad because, let him go out and I'd let him beat me again so he'd just feel better. But I'd finally beat my dad, so I'd reached my first 2 goals in golf. I was like, wow, okay, this is great. We're moving in the right direction. So then being on tour, that's kind of a lofty goal. You know, there's guys out there, and after a while, I got to be where I was playing pretty good. I was doing pretty good. I broke 100 for the first time on 18 holes. And then I broke 90. And then the first time I broke 80, I was just like, wow, I broke 80. And it was never, the game never got old to me. It never got old. I still love playing golf. I don't get to play nearly as much as I used to. But I still love to play the game. And it never gets old for me. It's just every hole's a challenge. Every hole is different. Every hole has its hazards. Kind of like life, isn't it? Every day, you got your different hazards. Every day is different. And you get up on the tee box, you're like, huh, this isn't what I'd planned for today. Par five, double dog leg left, or whatever. I was like, I'm not ready for this. But it never got old to me. And I kept improving, though. I kept getting better. I knew what I could do with my clubs. I knew where I could hit the ball. I could make it go to the right. I could make it go to the left. I could sometimes make it go straight. And then, but everybody has their own shot. Everybody knows what they play. They play a fade or a draw or a slice or a hook. Everybody knows, and you adjust accordingly, and you play your game that way. And you just learn to adjust. And, Seth took me over to the driving room and was trying to ask me some things about golf. And he hits the ball straight with a draw. And that's foreign to me. He wanted to know how to slice. He said, well, just swing like I do, He was slicing all day. But he has his game and I have my game. Jeremy has his game. I've played with these guys and it's just, everybody's got their own game. They have to adjust. But my game began to improve, and I got to the point where they have U.S. Open tryouts. It's an open tournament. You can qualify if you're just Joe Schmo on a local course. But, there's thousands of guys doing this, and somehow you get this arrogant attitude of thinking, well, I'm good enough. I could do this. So I said, I'm going to try out. I'm going to try out for the U.S. Open. Whoa. So they had like 10 courses in the Twin Cities area you could sign up at and think, okay. And you set a date, and they said, okay, this is the day you're going to play. So I went and played a practice round there and got the layout of the course and what I do on every hole. And they said you could have a caddy. I'm like, really? Cool. That'd be great. It's less, I don't have to carry my bag and less stress on me and got a guy that, and so to get a caddy, I went to pick a guy that I played golf with before that knew my game. He knew how far I'd hit each club. He knew what I'd do in every situation. He went out to the course with me and knew where all the hazards were. He knew where the rough was. He knew how far the hole was, what to play, where the pin placement were, and all this. He knew all this stuff. These were things. So he knew how to play the game. He was like, okay, wind conditions. Is it rain? Is it wind? Which direction is the wind from? Is it sunny? If it's sunny, the greens are going to be drier and faster. If it's wet, you just, all these different aspects of the game. And he knew I had to get somebody like that. I didn't want to go grab some, 10-year-old kid off the street. Here, carry this bag, and he's like, what do I do now, I wanted somebody that had a knowledge of the game and knew how to play the game. And this guy that I'd played golf with many, many times in the summers, and he said, yeah, I'll do it for you. I said, I'll buy you lunch afterwards. He said, okay, So anyways, so we got out there and played. I didn't do very well, okay? Obviously, I'm not on tour today. I know, just to calm you. Yeah, we're in the off season now, so I thought I'd come here and teach Sunday school. Yeah, there we go. No, so I so I didn't do very well. In fact, there was guys there. There was, I didn't do very well. I shot an 81 on the tryouts. And there was 14 guys tied at 73, and most of these were high school kids. And I'm like, okay, so much for the PGA dream, okay? But one thing that intrigued me, unlike 99.9% of the people in America, I like to watch golf on TV, and it's not boring to me. It's fun to watch. And one thing that really intrigued me, that part of the dream, it wasn't just to play on the PGA Tour, but it was the walk up the 18th hole. you see these guys coming up the 18th fairway, and people like Jack Nicklaus, you know, this amazing player, Tom Watson, you know, who's some of the good players today? Well, I don't count Tiger Woods anymore. But these players would walk up the fairway, and out of respect and admiration, these people were standing up. You know, 50 yards, 75, 100 yards from the green, they're standing up on the sidelines and applauding for these guys and giving them standing ovations. And a lot of them were moved to tears, you know, because, but it was just an admiration for how good they were and how much they had accomplished in the game of golf and how much good they had done for the game of golf. And I was like, wouldn't that be something? Just, you know, obviously you don't think of the, you know, the Firestone or the Canadian Open to walk up the 18th. You're thinking more like, we're talking the Masters now, U.S. Open. You know, you're on the putting green. Anybody who's played golf one time, you're on the putting green and saying, I got a 14-foot putt to win the Masters. You know, it's not to win the club championship at Bunker Hills. This is no Masters. No, we're not going for low. We're going for the Masters. You know, oh, he lips it out. You know, that's the way it always went for me. But you always have these dreams. But the walk up the 18th, I just thought, how could you walk up the 18th hole and have all that people just applauding for you, and you get up there to putt, a 10-foot putt, you'd be like, you know, you'd be so scared and nervous, you know, this is for the tournament championship, you know. I'd just probably pass out. But anyways, I just thought, I'd just love the chance. Okay, let's digress. I remember the first day I got saved. I was so excited. It was like the first day I got my clubs. I was so excited. I was like, man, this is great. Brand new. It's something new for me. I get to start life all over again. It's like a new challenge. I get to start life all over again. And I was like, and I started reading a Bible that I had had since I was a senior in high school, and it was still brand new. What does that tell you? It had been 11 years since I'd had this Bible, and it was still new. So I started, I was like, wow, this is great. The burden, I'd heard so many testimonies up to that time where the burden was lifted. And I experienced that. The addictions I was experiencing that I had at that time, God took away the desire. I'm like, that's a miracle. That's amazing. That's exciting for me. And I got to the point where I had three things I wanted to accomplish. I wanted to live a real life. A life free from the burdens. A life free from the pain. A life free from searching this old world for answers and not finding anything. And now I had somebody with me that's going to help me do this. It's like I had a caddy in life, really. It's an amazing thing. Second thing is I wanted to be the best. I wanted to be like my Father. My Heavenly Father. I wanted to be like it. There was no way I could ever attain that here on earth, but I didn't want to stop there. I didn't want to let that push me back into a shell of not trying. I wanted to be the best, and He was the best. He's perfect. Could you imagine a golfer never missing a shot? Always shot. Every shot was perfect. Could you imagine that? Any sport. You know, this world lifts up these athletes. MVP, what's the guy's name from Detroit? Cabrera. Would he bat 342, something like that? He had like 40-some home runs and 100-some RBIs. 342, if you were perfect, you'd be batting 1,000, right? That's the world's idea of greatness. That's what the world has to offer. Nothing. 342, here's perfection. If he was perfect, he'd hit a home run on every up to bat. But he's not. But that's the world. That's what the world has to offer. But I wanted to be like my Heavenly Father. That was my second goal. My third goal, I wanted my last hole to be a memorable one. I wanted my last day on earth to be a memorable one. But there were some things I had to learn. There were some things I had to learn. I had to become familiar with my equipment. I had to start reading the Bible with an intent on learning it and understanding it and memorizing it and living it. I had to start praying. I had an opportunity to every day, any minute of the day, to talk to the Creator of the universe. I had that at my disposal. I had to learn that, though. I had to learn that I didn't have to take on life's complications by myself anymore. I didn't have to step up on the tee box and wonder if there was a water hole over the next hill or a sandbox. Sand trap. It was a box sometimes. You get in there and get trapped. But I had to, my abilities. What did I have? What did God bless me with that I could use for His honor and His glory? I had to learn these things. I had to get familiar with my equipment. The only difference in the correlation here between golf and Christianity, I know that's really bad, but the only correlation here is I have a caddy. I had him from the day I accepted Christ. I had somebody that could stand up on the tee box with me and say, okay, this is what you're going to face today. There's a trap over on the left. There's temptation on the left. There's your old addiction over there on the right staring you in the face. And it just, you know what, in golf they always put the traps and the water holes right where your ball always is going to land. You know, it's always a kind of a hassle. And the devil's not stupid. He knows where you're going to go today. He knows what you're going to do today. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. And he puts these things right where you're going to be. Puts your temptations right where you're going to be. He's going to put these hazards, these traps that you once were in before you got saved, right? And make them look tempting. Oh, I feel good today. I can drive over that. I'm feeling pretty good. But the caddy is there to say, no, you haven't really been playing that well lately. And I don't think you can get over that. I think you should lay up. I think you should lay up. Play short of it today, because that you're going to have a problem if you try to go for it. You're going to end up in deeper rough than you can imagine. And I remember you all familiar with Jack Hiles, the preacher down in Hammond? I remember him saying once, he goes, they used to discriminate against me in golf. They always cut the grass where I didn't play. they never cut the grass where I played. And that's the thing. So the caddy gets up there, and the Holy Spirit, and he's like, and he takes the scorecard, and he goes, all right, you see this? That's where you're going to have some problems today, during your daily reading, during your devotion time. If you don't read if you don't have your devotions in the morning, how are you going to know what you're going to face that day? It's an uncanny thing how God takes your devotion time and shows you something that you're going to need that day. It's an amazing thing. How when you're praying to God and He lays something on your heart, like, wow, I must be going to face that today. That must be a problem I'm going to run into today. And he said, okay, we got a strong wind of delusion coming over here, wind of deceit. You got addictions, temptations out here. This is how you should play this today. Okay, good. But we always get in trouble, don't we? We always sin. We always fall for some things during the day. Why is that? Because we're not listening to our caddy. He He knows what we can do. He knows our capabilities. He knows what we're our abilities. He knows what we're capable of doing. He knows how we're doing on a good day, how we do on a bad day. What we should use and how we should use it. But some days you say, oh, I got it. I got this figured out. Boom, I'm in a trap. I didn't know there's water there. I didn't know there's a trap there. And he's just standing over there going, told you. Or I could have told you. Oh, I don't have time to read, have my devotions today. I got to get to work and I got to do this and I got to do that. And I just don't have time. And you're never going to know what's out there. You never know what you're going to face that day. But we have a caddy. I hate to use that. That's not. I don't use that to lower his holiness at all. But, and then every day is different. I got here a scorecard. Well, I just printed it off the computer from Heritage Oaks, just down the road here. And every hole, can you see that? I can't even see it. Yeah, you tell me what it says. But every hole is different. Every hole is different. It's longer. You ever have those days where you say, well, this day seems to be going a lot longer than normal. This day seems to be dragging along. Yeah, right? And you're just like, man, 11. And then those days when you're having a good day, the days seem to go really fast. Yeah, that's around. Wow, I'm done with this round already? And but every hole is different. This one is a dog leg left. That's where it's shaped like this, like a dog leg. Okay. And it's a little longer, so I could cut that corner and be in the fairway and have a shorter shot on my second shot, so I could use an iron I'm more accurate with into the green. Oh. Wait. I've seen you play the last round. You're not playing so hot right now. I think you should play to the corner and play it safe. Oh, come on. I got to have a good drive in there somewhere. I just haven't found it for 5 years. But every hole is different. These have water on them. It shows you where the sand traps are in every hole. It shows you the distance to those traps. It shows you the distance from that trap to the hole. It shows you that distance from the trap to the water. And it gives you a guidance. And that's what this book does for us. Every day we face is different. We're going to face different challenges. And that's when the Holy Spirit steps up. We have to get in contact with the caddy, the Holy Spirit, and say, what am I going to face today? And that's what this is all about, is just letting him tell you what's going on. So many players I've heard interviewed after a good round of golf, they said, well, if it wasn't, it wouldn't have been for my caddy, I would have really messed that hole up. Or if I would have just listened to my caddy. I heard that a few times in interviews after rounds. The guys that ended up taking fourth place instead of first place. So I had to learn a few things. I had to become familiar with my equipment. I had to show a desire to learn. When I ran into something in the Bible that I didn't understand, I had to ask some questions. I had to go to people that knew what they were doing. I always found that in golf, if I played golf with somebody that was better than I was, I learned and I played better. Wouldn't that just stand true in life too? When I find somebody that's a Christian, that's living the life, that has it under control or appears to be, I'm sure they obviously they have the same problems I have, but they seem to have a handle on it. Some people are better at raising kids than I am. Why wouldn't I go and talk to them about how to raise my kids? What did you do in this situation? What did you do when you had a kid like this? When you have a tough decision to make or you don't understand something in the Bible, we have a pastor here and we have a couple of guys in the congregation like Brother Bob and Brother Dave and them that know the Bible and understand the Bible. Why wouldn't you go and talk to them and ask questions? We had to show a desire to learn. The day is not good right now. People don't want to hear the truth. We have to have answers for them from the Word of God. If you're stumped on something, why not go ask somebody, hey, what does this mean? What do you get from this passage of Scripture? We have the Holy Spirit inside of us who wrote the book. Why don't we just ask Him? Why don't we ask questions? Show a desire to learn. Practice. How about reading your Bible? How about praying on a regular basis? How about, doesn't it, like, just like it used to thrill me, I'd play for hours in the front yard with a little plastic golf ball, and I just loved it. And I just sit there for hours. Why don't we have those desires for the Word of God and for prayer? Our flesh gets in the way so many times. And there's so much to learn. We have so much to learn. And we have to remember the basics. Sometimes we get into the Bible and, you know, like this morning, it's like, well, I've got to find some deep doctrinal thing that nobody in here has ever heard before and just blow them out of the socks. And pastor comes back. He's, boy, Todd sure gave a good message. You know, I'm simple, all right? You guys know that. Simple, basic things. There's so many times in my Christian life that I have problems if I just go back to the basics. If I go back and remember the day I got saved, and remember God took me out of the pit of the miry clay and pulled me out, and then I get back and I got the Word of God, not that some guy wrote. I got the Word of God Himself. I have an opportunity to talk to God anytime I want to. That's the basics. I can go up to anybody, it doesn't matter how knowledgeable I am about the Bible, and tell them what happened to me 20 years ago. Hey, I was just like you. I was given over to the bottle, but God rescued me from that. And He gave me a new life and a new course to travel on. And life has never been better for me. That's the basics. You don't have to be a doctrinal giant in the fundamental community to give over that stuff. It's just basic stuff. Yesterday we went up to St. Cloud, knocked on a door, and handed them a gospel tract. Can you do that? Well, what are they going to think of me? Who cares? You're probably never going to see them again anyways. They're not going to be on your next exam or your next eval at work. Well, this guy from St. Cloud called and said you gave him a gospel tract, you know. Really? Are you really? You know. Well, we're going to knock you down for that, you know. It doesn't matter. We got to get our eyes off this world and realize that we have a better thing awaiting us in heaven. And just think about these things. The basics, when we have troubles, it's usually just a quick fix. It's usually something simple. It's usually not that complex at all. And it's usually inside our heart. What's our desires? Are we, you know, and then we, getting back to the basics, then the day I got saved, I'm living a real life now. Yeah, I have problems. I have complicated. I mess up all the time. I know that's no shock to you guys. And what are you laughing at? And but I'll tell you what, I've never had more peace and joy and contentment in my life than what the world had to offer me. I have yet to reach my Father's potential. I can't beat my Heavenly Father. He's perfect. But I don't let that discourage me from trying. It says over in Philippians chapter 3, again, just simple verses, basic verses that we've heard many, many times. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's simple. You had a bad day? Forget about it. Go forward. Don't go back and try to fix yesterday. It's done. It's over with. Go on. Press toward the mark. Don't stop. We can fix that. We can learn from our mistakes and keep going forward. Okay, I messed up there. I had a bad day. I didn't know that trap was there. I didn't know that water hazard was there. But I do now. And I'm sorry, Holy Spirit, for not listening and taking your leading in that area. Please forgive me. Let's try this again. And God says, okay, dust you off and sets you up, so let's try this again. And we go forward. We keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling. And that's to be like Christ. There's nothing else in this life for us Christians. Our high calling is to be like Christ. What a higher calling there is. There's no higher calling than that. But we got to keep pressing forward. We can't. I haven't played my last round here yet, obviously. I'm still standing here. I'm still able to speak. Still able to breathe. Still able to read. Not as good at golf as I used to be, but I haven't played my last round in life yet. But if I did, this is what I'd like it to be like. Turn to Acts, chapter 7. This is going to be a rough one for me to get through because this is my favorite story in the Bible. Are you always an emotional wreck when you get behind the pulpit? Yeah. God is good. God is good. Chapter 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed upon him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. I know one thing. Well, I know a lot of things, but this one thing. When Christ died and rose again, when he ascended into heaven, he sat down on the right hand of God. He sat down. But when Stephen had taken a stand and preached the truth and told these guys what it's all about, he looked up into heaven, Christ was standing on the right hand, the Father. I can just picture it. Give it to him, Stephen. Let him have it. Tell him the truth. That's the way it is. I don't know. That's just the impression I get. Why was he standing on the right hand of the Father? Man, living, can you imagine what Christ does when we're down here and we're witnessing to somebody? Yeah, tell him. That's right. Tell him. That's the truth. And when it's our last day on earth, and we've done all we can possibly do to glorify God and to be a witness for Him and live a good Christian life. I just picture Him standing up and say, come on home. When that last rock hit Stephen and he fell asleep and he woke up and Christ was standing there waiting for him. Like the prodigal's dad, he ran to him, kissed him on the cheek and said, welcome home. Ah, I can't wait for that day. That's my walk up the 18th hole. To walk up the last 18th hole and have Christ say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You did what I wanted you to do. I love playing golf. I really do. But there's so much more to life. There really is. And pleasing the Heavenly Father, you know, I hope to play more golf coming up, you know, but it's just not that important as it used to be anymore. I want to learn more about the equipment I have at my availability that's available to me to use. I want to show a desire to learn.
I want to continue to live this real life that I found in Christ. I never want to lose that. I never do. I have yet to reach my Father's potential, but I don't want to stop trying. And I haven't played my last round, but I know what I want it to be. I know what I want it to be. Just one, a couple last things. That'll be it. Verse 6. Go back to our 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. This was Paul's course. Every one of us has a different course to play. Every one of us has a different life to live. Every one of us influences people that the rest of us do not. We have to play our course. One mistake I made in golf is I tried to pattern. A lot of times when I was having problems, I figured, well, if I pattern my swing after this guy, then I'll be all right. And I just struggled, and I'd struggle, and I'd struggle, and I'd struggle. And my dad says, why don't you just go back to your natural swing? Go back to what works. And I'd go back and hit it right down the middle again. So there's a lot of junk out there today in Christianity, a lot of false teachers. I remember in high school, our team had we ended up going to the state tournament in golf. I played football, wrestling, and golf. Where does that fit? You know, so anyway, you know, usually it's ping pong, volleyball, and golf. Here we go, you know. No. But I played football, wrestling, and golf. Full contact golf, though. But I, we got to the state tournament, and I was really having a difficult time with my woods. I could not hit my woods. And my high school coach was telling me to move the ball back farther in my stance. And that's just the opposite of what you're supposed to do. So then for the whole state tournament, I had to use a 2-iron to tee off with. Just so I knew I could hit a 2-iron down the middle. But it wasn't as far as I could hit my woods. When we got to the state tournament, my dad came down to follow me and watch. And he goes, what are you doing? Nobody's supposed to coach you, but my dad, you know, it's never stopped my dad before. He's a real silent, you know, easygoing guy. What are you doing? I said, well, this is what coach told me. That idiot. Dad's always saying this. He goes, I should go over there and punch him in the nose. You know, my dad's hands are like this, you know. But he goes, no. He goes, take out your driver. He was saying this kind of, take out your driver and play it off your left foot. Okay, you know. So I get up, and there's only like 2 holes left in the tournament. And he's over there. He's just beside himself, like, what in the world? And I get up there, and I hit my drive, and boom, perfect. And he goes, just imagine. I played terrible state tournament. And he goes, just imagine what it would have been like. And I did get to experience my walk up the 18th. At the state tournament, there was about 100 people around the final green, and I lipped out a 40-foot putt for a birdie, and I heard the crowd go, oh. And I was like, yeah. But I'm looking forward to more than that when Christ comes back. What a day that's going to be, isn't it? But it's your course. That's what's neat about having a pastor that's knowledgeable in the Word of God. He can sit down and he knows you. He knows your lifestyle. He knows the things you like, the things you dislike. And he can pattern your life and tell you what to look out for. And if you start leaning towards somebody else that's telling you a wrong direction, He said, oh, man, I should punch that guy in the nose. What a joke. So remember, I guess, two things today. It's your course. Every one of us has a different life to live, and it's for Christ. It's for nobody else. And the second thing is remember the basics. Don't forget the basics. If you forget about the basics, you're going to get discouraged and you're going to fall flat on your face. Just remember the basics. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Simple lesson, simple guy, somebody that you saved by your grace. Thank you for this word. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to these people. And I pray, Lord, that something would click with somebody today. And I just thank you for the opportunity. And Lord, I just pray that you be with Brother Bob now as he comes forward and preaches to us today. Lord, I know it's going to be good. And Lord, help us to desire to learn more about your word. Thank you so much. In your name, amen.